There was an emergency. Someone called for help. The men-at-arms came running from the house and from the grounds. This was as far as they got. Whatever the Hellfire Club has called up, it didn't want to be disturbed.
But how could they have called up something? They were a bunch of amateurs. You said so yourself.
They must have had help.
What kind of help?
Good question. Let's go and find out.
Buchan took the lead and guided Hawk and Fisher unerringly through the maze of corridors that led to the ballroom. The silence was complete, broken only by their own soft footsteps. They found servants here and there, lying crumpled where they fell, struck down by the same deathly sleep. Hawk peered continuously about him, skin crawling in anticipation of the attack that never came, his tiredness burned away by rising adrenaline. They finally came to the closed double doors that led to the ballroom. Buchan made as though to push the doors open and walk straight in, but Hawk stopped him with a cautious hand on his arm. He looked warily around him, then stepped forward and pressed his ear against the right-hand door. He couldn't hear anything. Either the wood was too thick or there wasn't anything to hear. Taking hold of both door handles, he very carefully eased the doors open an inch or two and then stepped back. He made sure his grip on his axe was secure, looked quickly at Fisher and Buchan, then stepped forward and kicked the doors open. The three of them surged forward to fill the doorway, weapons at the ready. The quality lay strewn across the waxed and polished floor of the ballroom in their brightly colored finery, like so many broken butterflies. They lay singly or in heaps, wherever they'd been standing when the magic struck them down. Most were awake but unable to move. Some moaned quietly, as much in horror as in pain. All of them looked withered and ancient, aged long beyond their years, held somehow on the very edge of death as their life drained slowly out of them. Those nearest the blue chalk circle looked almost mummified. And there, in the middle of the ballroom, inside the blue circle, stood the thing the Hellfire Club had called up out of the gulfs. It looked across at the doorway and smiled charmingly.
Well now, visitors, how nice.
The figure was 6 feet tall, quite naked, and aesthetically muscular in a way usually achieved only by statues. Its face was classically handsome and unmarked by time, so flawlessly perfect as to be almost inhuman. A raw sensuality burned around it like an invisible flame, attractive and repellent in its uncaring arrogance, like bitter honey or the smell of an open wound masked by perfume. It was the perfect embodiment of the male form, burning with ruthless vitality.
What's wrong with the quality? What's happened to them?
The creature they called up is draining the life right out of them. Their deaths will make it even more powerful. Even a low-level sorcerer would have known to set wards so this couldn't happen, but these people were amateurs, and they didn't know. At least they had enough sense to draw a restraining circle. That should hold it for a while.
How long?
Only as long as it takes to drain its summoners dry. After that, it'll be powerful enough to break the circle, and there'll be nothing we can do to stop it.
What about the exorcist stone?
The creature will be gone long before we could get the stone here, and all the quality will be dead.
Great. Just great.
Hawk moved slowly forward, stopping right at the edge of the chalk circle. The creature watched him intently, still smiling its perfect smile. Hawk looked into the dark, unblinking eyes and saw no humor there, or any other emotion he could recognize.
Who are you? What are you?
I'm what they wanted. I'm all the darkness in their souls, all their hidden hates and wants and desires set free at last, given shape and form and substance in me. I'm strong and beautiful and perfect, because that's what they wanted me to be. Or perhaps because that's how they see themselves in the privacy of their mind's eye. Really doesn't matter. They gave me life, whether they meant to or not, and they'll go on giving me life until they die. Then, when I have fully come into my power, I'll leave them here and go out into the city, a new being in all his glory, a new god for the street of gods, and men shall worship me as they always have, under one name or another, in blood and suffering and all the hidden darkness of their souls. I shall be very happy here. This city was built with me in mind.
I've met your kind before.
You're just another dark man with an inflated sense of self-importance, that's all.
I shall show you blood and horror. I will break your body and your spirit, and you will praise me before I let you die. You don't understand what I am, what I really am. I'm everything that ever scared you, every dark impulse you tried to hide, your worst nightmare given flesh and blood and bone.
Fisher moved forward and stood with Hawk.
You're also stuck in that circle. And if you had any power to use against us, you would have used it by now. You're not leaving this circle. You're not going anywhere. We'll see to that.
So brave. You are nothing compared to me.
Thinks a lot of himself, doesn't he? Let's see how he likes a half a yard of cold steel rammed through his appendix.
No!
Bucket moved quickly forward to join the two guards at the edge of the circle.
Don't try it, Captain. You can't reach the thing from outside the circle. And once you cross the chalk line, your suppressor stone won't be able to protect you anymore. The creature would drain you dry just like the quality.
No problem.
Fisher sheathed her sword, took the throwing knife from her left boot, aimed it, and let it fly with a single rapid movement. The creature's hand moved, too quickly for the eye to follow, and snatched the knife in midair. It dropped the knife to the floor and smiled at Fisher. She blinked and turned to Buchan.
We might just have a problem here after all. How long do you think we've got before it has enough power to leave the circle?
Not long. Half the quality are at death's door already. Whatever we're going to do, we've got to do it soon.
Wait a minute. The Exorcist Stone would get rid of it, right? How about the Suppressor Stone? That's supposed to work on the same principle, isn't it?
Well, yes, but it's nowhere near as powerful. You'd have to get the Suppressor Stone within an inch or so of the creature. And even then, there's no guarantee it would work. And if it didn't, the creature would either drain you like the quality or tear you apart just for the fun of it.
If we wait till it gets out of the circle, we're dead anyway. Look, if you got a better idea, let's hear it. I'm not actually wild about going into that circle unless I have to.
There is another alternative.
Buchan turned his back on the creature and looked out over the ballroom.
It's gathering its power from the life force of the quality. If they were all to die before the creature could come into its full power, it would remain helpless within the circle.
We can't just kill them.
You think I like suggesting it? I grew up with these people. They're my friends.
It's out of the question.
No, it isn't. Kill us! Kill us all! Please! Do you think we want to live like this?
They found Lord Lewis Hightower sitting propped up against the wall. His flesh was pale and blotched and heavily wrinkled, sunk right back to the bone, and Buchan only recognized him by his clothes. His mouth was just a colorless gash, and his breathing barely stirred his chest, but still he fought to force out his words as Buchan knelt beside him.
If we die, the shock will kill that thing. It's linked to us.
Lewis.
Do it, Charles. Please. I can't face living like this.
No. If we can kill the thing while it's still in the circle, there's a damn good chance you'll get your life back. The link between you works both ways. Or it should.
Hawk knelt down beside the mummified figure.
Yeah. Let's at least try to save you. I've lost two Hightowers already. I don't want to lose a third.
Hightower looked at him, and his mouth moved in something that might have been a smile.
All right, Captain. Go ahead. But this time, get it right.
Hawk nodded stiffly, then straightened up and headed back to the edge of the circle. Fisher and Buchan went with him.
I take it you have some kind of plan.
I wouldn't bank on it. Hawk's always been a great one for improvising.
Well, basically, I thought I'd cut the creature's heart out and jam the suppressor stone into the hole. That should ruin its day.
Sounds good to me. You hit him from the left, I'll hit him from the right.
This is absolutely crazy. But let's do it before we get an attack of common sense and change our minds.
The three of them spread out around the circle, weapons at the ready. The creature smiled at them warmly and spread its arms as though welcoming them. Hawk hesitated a moment at the chalk line, then braced himself and stepped quickly across it. The years hit him like a club, almost forcing him to his knees. He could feel his joints stiffening and his muscles shriveling as life itself sucked out of him to feed the creature before him. His axe grew heavier with every movement, and it took all his strength to keep his back straight and his head erect. He heard Fisher and Buchan entering the circle, but he didn't look around. He didn't want to see what was happening to them. He didn't want to think about what was happening to him. He hefted his axe and threw himself at the smiling creature. It dodged the axe easily and sent Hawk flying across the circle with a casual backhand blow. He hit the ground hard. For a moment, Hawk couldn't find the strength to get to his knees. He gritted his teeth and staggered to his feet again, swaying from the effort. Fisher and Buchan were cutting at the creature with their swords, but the thing simply raised its arms to ward off the blows, and the blades sprang away as though they'd met solid metal instead of flesh. The creature's arms weren't even bruised. Fisher was an old woman with white hair and a heavily lined face. Buchan was bent and twisted with age, barely able to hold onto his sword. Hawk fought down a rising tide of panic. Their weapons were no use against the creature, but they had nothing else except the suppressor stones.
Get the stone close to it! Get it as close as possible or it won't work!
Hawk scowled. He knew what he'd like to do with the stone. The scowl slowly became a smile. When in doubt, be direct. As Buchan and Fisher continued their assault, Hawk put away his axe and lurched forward. The creature saw him coming, but since Hawk was empty-handed, ignored him to concentrate on fending off its armed attackers. Hawk moved in behind the creature and jumped the thing from behind, locking an arm around the creature's throat. It tried to grab him and throw him off, but couldn't quite reach. Hawk hung on grimly, forcing the head back.
Isabel! Get the stone and ram it down its throat!
Fisher dropped her sword and clawed the suppressor stone from her pocket. Buchan leaped forward and grabbed both the creature's arms. Fisher pressed the stone into its mouth, then she forced the mouth closed with both hands and held on with all her strength. Buchan punched the creature in the throat. It gagged and swallowed despite itself. Then Hawk, Fisher, and Buchan were alone in the circle. Hawk blinked dazedly a moment, then looked at Fisher and smiled widely with relief. She was herself again, the added years gone along with the creature that had tried to force them on her. They hugged each other tight for a long moment and then let go and looked around them. A hum of voices rose as the quality discovered they also had been renewed. Buchan was already moving among them, grinning and laughing, and being slapped on the back. Fisher noticed that her sword, her knife, and the suppressor stone were lying on the floor inside the circle, and she bent to retrieve them.
Oh, one of your better ideas, Hawk.
She sheathed her weapons.
Where did the creature go, do you suppose?
Back where it came from, and good riddance.